We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Owning a small business can be overwhelming. How can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. There's so many places to reach customers. Email, text messages, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, live events, the list goes on. How are you, as the business owner, expected to own all of those channels? That's where Constant Contact comes in to help. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. I use this to grow my email list, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Roto Grinders Morning Grind podcast. I'm your host, Stevie TPFL. It's Wednesday, it's November 23rd, it's 2022. 12 NBA games to talk about here on today's podcast. We got some injuries, we got some back-to-backs, and we got Mr. Snacks himself, Will Priester, Chief Justice 06. Chief, what's happening, my friend?
Nothing much, my brother. Glad to have you back. I know you've already had a couple shows and pods since you've returned, but my one of my good friends in the industry, so glad to have you back yet again. And we got a big doozy of a slate, so I will pass it along to you and let you do your thing, and let's help some people make some money.
Let's again, as always, I like to remind people, First Look Podcast, Tuesday is the perfect example of that. You know, when we were talking about Tuesday slate, like Jokic and Murray and those guys were like doubtful, they got ruled in, and the whole slate changed an hour after lock. So First Look Podcast, we're just going to break down and, you know, potentially talk about some trends and some plays to look at here as a first look. If you haven't already, head on over to the Roto Grinders Morning Grind YouTube page, subscribe, turn on notifications, like the video, comment if you want. I try to check the comments throughout the day, so if you have any comments, try to communicate with people as much as possible. If you want to hang out during the show live, you can hang out in the chat room. There's Nick Nelson in the chat right now talking about the NASCAR championship. It was unreal. It was something. It was something. I have so many thoughts about that, but we're not going to get into it because we have 12 games. If you haven't checked out Sleeper Fantasy, head on over there, check them out. Sleeper Fantasy is crushing it in the fantasy prop game. Love what they're doing over there. Use promo code Grinders. That way you get in the Roto Grinders squad and you get a deposit bonus up to $100. So take advantage of that. Like I said, join the Roto Grinders squad chat. Even if you are already signed up, you can go to the podcast description and it's Roto Grinders. I think it's Sleeper just slash Grinders, and then you can join the squad that way as well. So 12 games, a lot to talk about, a lot to break down. We're gonna jump right in. We're not gonna mess around today. We get started here with Philadelphia at Charlotte. Philly's on a back-to-back. Do you have a total? 214.5 total here. Charlotte, 3.5-point favorite. Ball and Martin out for Charlotte. We'll have to see if any news comes out of Philly as far as who's going to be in, who's going to be out. We know that Embiid is already ruled out for this game, not going to play. So there you go. Don't expect Harden to play in this game as well. And Tybal got banged up in the game on Tuesday night, so we'll see if he is back or not. It was, I think, like an ankle, if I remember reading it correctly. So let's start here with Philly. No Embiid, potentially no Harden, potentially no Maxi, potentially no Tybal. What are we looking at here for Philadelphia?
I mean, I guess it's going to be the same usual suspects, and they get a what should be a pretty soft matchup here on paper, even though they're on the back-to-back. Melton should be okay. Milton at 5,500 is looking like a standout if all of these other guys are going to continue to be out. And then Tobias Harris at 7,800. Didn't quite get it done on the previous slate like I think we would have anticipated. Believe it or not, he just had a rough first half. Second half, he came out and just, I mean, kind of obliterated, you know, or what he should have done the first half. If he would have had a first half like the second half, he would have been, you know, pretty much cruising to 45 to 50 points. So, you know, Harris against Charlotte, you know, not something I'm going to shy away from at all. Paul Reed actually had a fairly good game as well, at least on the boards. Let me say at least on the board. I think he had at least 10, if I'm not mistaken. And so, you know, for 3,700, big slate, don't get me wrong, but I definitely think he's someone you can look at. Harrell had an okay game. He's 4,400. So there will be some pieces here if Harden and the rest of the game sit, which I'm assuming they will. You know, and we already know Embiid was already scheduled to be out two games. Maxey's not going to play. So I like these guys here. Ball is already out, like, you know, like we've already discussed. So this should be an up-and-down pace game in Charlotte. And hopefully, you know, we come out with a loss here and stay in the Victor Wembanyama sweepstakes. Just kidding. Kidding, not kidding.
Not kidding. Yeah, kidding, not kidding. I think you're really seeing guys that, you know, I like Shake Milton again. Harrell started and what did he end up at? Like 15 minutes or something? Had like a really good first quarter and then was like, gone again.
Yeah, just disappeared.
I think a lot of that had to do with like Paul Reed just having a game.
He had a game.
So I mean, I wouldn't even be shocked to see Reed start instead of Harrell. Like they then reward him with the like amazing performance that he had on Tuesday night. Yeah. Reed's 3,700, center only, 12 game slate. If he starts, I'm interested. If he comes off the bench again, I just don't know if we can expect another 7-for-9 shooting night, 19-10 type of game, especially as center only like eligibility. So he's kind of a question mark. Korkmaz just came back, played 20 minutes. I don't know if they let him like play a lot here. So maybe I'm looking at like a Nang who we talked about on the podcast yesterday. He only played 17 minutes, so potentially could get some minutes, but shorthanded team here, especially if Thibault sits. So definitely going to be looking at this Philly rotation and starting lineup. On the Charlotte side, I mean, Terry Rozier is 8K. He has some ceiling, but he really just hasn't shown huge ceiling here. Oubre's price is kind of caught up here at 6,800. He'd probably be my favorite of the group. But Dennis Smith Jr. at 5,500 is the guy I think I'm the most interested in here in Charlotte. 25 minutes in his return. I think we see him get closer to that like 32 to 35 minute role here. It was an ankle. It's been a few days now. I mean, I didn't hear any setbacks. I think Dennis Smith Jr. at 5,500 is super interesting here.
Yeah, I don't hate that at all. And then don't look now. Gordon Hayward just, I mean, and I'm mentioning him because he just got back. He's two games in. Stevie, I thought he might have had a little bit of ramp up, 42 and 37 minutes at 6,300. I think I'm going to have some interest in Hayward as well. Just, I was shocked he came out and played that many minutes. Just coming back. Gosh, they need to trade this guy. It's nothing against Gordon Hayward. Man, they just get him somewhere where he can play with a contender. Don't let him rot away here in Charlotte with the young guys, which, you know, maybe he pulls a Harrison Barnes and just hangs around until the team gets good. And that could be the case. But I did want to mention him as well. Quietly, Mason Plumlee's been playing fairly well most games. it's not every game. I mean, he did go through a stretch where it was like, you know, felt like 35 to 40 points, you know, a night. I think against a softer Philly lineup, I don't hate him at 5,700, but, you know, that's about the end of the road with the Hornets.
Be interesting to see what Gordon Hayward's props come in at points-wise. Even points, rebound, assist type of thing, like what that comes in at, because if it's just low and we could take advantage of it, the minutes are going to be there. The matchup's nice because, I mean, Philly's shorthanded and it's a back-to-back for them. So Charlotte's like actively trying not to win games, I feel like. So, I mean, I think this game stays remotely close. Definitely a game to look at for a low 214.5 total. Moving on, we got Portland at Cleveland, 217.5 total here. Cleveland, 8.5-point favorite. Portland side, Johnson, Lillard, and Payton out. Cleveland side, LeVert, Rubio, Windler out. Kevin Love, questionable. Start on the Portland side of things. Obviously, no Damian Lillard. He's going to be back in a week or two, it sounds like. But we kind of know what to expect without Dame. So what are we looking at here for Portland?
Well, you know, to look at Anthony Simons, I mean, when Dave is out, the guy's going to take at least 20 shots or pretty close. Took 19 against Utah, 23 against Milwaukee. Now, look, he was very efficient, shot about 52% from the field, 27% from three, and still shot 52%, which should tell you kind of how this thing went down. Shot 30% from three in the game before that, 7 for 19, 36%, very inefficient. But the other thing that Anthony Simons is doing is the peripheral. So when Dame is out, the ball is in his hands, the usage rate is up. 7 assists and 8 assists against Utah, 5 and 4 against Milwaukee. He gets a matchup with Cleveland. That's a guard-heavy team anyway. So, if he can continue down this path of picking up rebounds and assists, the scoring is going to be there. And if the scoring is there, I mean, this guy's going to blow through these totals. So, we already know, you know, like you said, what to do there. This should be a game where Nurkic continues to get minutes because, I mean, he's got Jared Allen on the other side, 6,400. I mean, he's a guy I think you can look at. Now, his ceiling does feel a bit capped in a general situation. I am going to give him a bump with Damian Lillard out, hoping that they need him, down the stretch. Jeremy Grant is another guy that's been playing fantastically for a stretch, but you know, he's kind of come back down to earth here. I don't mind a flyer on him, but he wouldn't be, you know, a primary target.
Simons has a 32% usage rate with, you know, Lillard off the floor. That's a 4.5% increase. We know the usage is there. Nurkic, you mentioned Nurkic. He's averaging almost 1.3 fantasy point per minute with Lillard and Johnson off the floor this season. So, I mean, Nurkic, it's always just, will he get enough minutes? 6,400, if he's going to get 30-plus minutes, he has some upside. It's just the minutes are all over the place. So I think large field tournament play on him. Grant, very playable. 7,100 is just kind of pricey. He might be someone you end up more looking at, like, on your fantasy prop type of sites more than, like, playing him on DK at 7,100. So I think that's where I'm looking at Grant more than anything else. Sup, Yappy in chat. What's happening? Great call on the KD fade. Did that work out? I didn't play him, so I didn't even check. Sounds like it might have worked out. Cleveland side of this game, Will, no LeVert. I mean, that's big in itself. I think the other thing that, you know, we're going to be paying attention to tomorrow is no, like, Kevin Love playing or not playing. He plays enough minutes where he makes a difference in rotations. Donovan Mitchell, Garland, these guys have been fantastic. They've been even better when LeVert's not been playing or on the floor. What are your thoughts here on these Cleveland you know, guards. They're kind of pricey.
Yeah, they are. Once again, though, this is a fairly guard-heavy team. Now, like we talked about, we already know LeVert is out. I think Mitchell and tournaments might be sneaky. And the reason why I'm saying that is when the scoring is there for him, the fantasy points are typically up. And so what I'm banking on if I'm playing Mitchell is the fact he's probably going to score, you know, somewhere around 30 real points. And if he does that, the good thing about him this year as well is the peripheral, Stevie, which I've enjoyed. Even with Garland back, I thought he was going to possibly take a dip in assists and rebounds. But, I mean, if you look at the game log, he's still, you know, getting there. Like, that's – so I'm very pleased with the production that Donovan Mitchell is putting out there. Garland at 8,800, you can't play both of them. If I was going to play one, it would probably be Mitchell for the scoring. But one of these guys is going to get there. I just honestly can't tell you which one it is. I do think Kevin Love will play. And as a result of that, I'm kind of out on the bigs. I don't hate Allen. Like, I feel like Allen could get there against anybody. But 6,700 is going to have to deal with Nurkic. I think I'm going to pass. I'm mainly interested in the guards. If I'm multi-entering, like let's say I'm running 150, I probably just put Mitchell and Rook together and then just set a rule where, you know, I only play one of them at a time.
I think Mitchell's the play if you want to run some tournament shots on Cleveland or Garland. You got to remember this game, 217.5 total. It's not a game where we're going to see, like, an incredible pace pushed. You know, Cleveland is 29th in pace. This game's in Cleveland. No Lillard. Portland plays slow as well. I think they're 25th or 26th in pace. So, Will, a slow game. Tournaments only. I think tournaments only. If Kevin Love sits, obviously it could potentially open up some stuff, but I think it's a tournament only spot. Evan Mobley is someone I always like looking at props because, you know, he's someone that is very capable of getting 25 plus rebounds and points, and his line usually comes in like the 22.5 type of mark. So I always like looking at Evan Mobley's points rebound prop.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm with you 100%.
All right. We got Minnesota at Indiana. 235. Here we go. 2 points favorite in Minnesota. McLaughlin, Anderson, questionable. And then on the Pacer side, Duarte and Tice out. Jackson and Newhart, both questionable. So let's start here with Minnesota. You know, we go from talking about a game that's going to have not so great pace to a game that has two teams in the top five in pace. Just a fantastic spot. If the Pacers keep this game close, this is an amazing spot for Minnesota. The Pacers are a bottom 15 defensive team. They play fast. It's just really kind of figuring out, do you want to take shots on Towns? Is this the spot? Are we taking shots on Edwards? This is a team that's really struggled, you know, guarding the three-point line. This is a guy with double-digit three-point attempts in three straight games. Like, I think Edwards at 8K, Edwards props. This is the guy that I think I'm looking at in Minnesota in a fast-paced game. Him and maybe even D'Angelo Russell at 6K.
Yeah, man, I'm so glad you mentioned D'Lo because, like, this is starting to get to that salary range where it's like, come on, man. Like, this is a matchup with Indiana. He's not playing some top-tier defense tomorrow. So I really like D'Lo here. I think this is a spot he could get off. Now, look, you're looking at Miami game. He's 1-for-5. Like, I think he takes a lot more than 5 shots. Like, he's been kind of hovering around 12 shots a game. Let's call it 10 to 12. I think he ends up more in the 12 range in this spot against Indiana in a game where they're going to push the pace. You know, Indiana, one of the highest paced teams in the league. You know, you talked about Edwards at 8K. Like, this should be another good spot for him. And I really do like Karl Anthony Towns here. 9K, I think that's a fair price. But, you know, all in all, his production should be there in this spot. I mean, he should be able to dominate in terms of scoring, assisting, rebounding. He's another one that's been getting it done in both departments for the peripherals. But the thing you're banking on is if he scores 25 points, Stevie, typically the fantasy points are going to come along. Like if you look at his game log, he starts hitting mid-20s, he starts hitting 50-ish fantasy points. And so Carl Anthony Towns, one of my favorite plays on the day for sure.
The thing that I do like about Cat, especially on DraftKings, is you can play him at power forward. You know, we're going to have so many great like center plays. Being able to get Cat at power forward definitely opens up the possibilities of playing him. Rudy Gobert is someone that like love when you can find his like rebound prop around like 8.5. Jump on that. I think especially in this type of matchup, you know, very fast paced game. So the Pacers side of this game, I mean, if this game stays close, like if you're taking shots on Edwards or Towns, I think you have to play either Halliburton or Buddy Hield and just hope, you know, lights out type of shooting game. Buddy Hield has been struggling shooting the ball. He's still putting up the shots, Will. Double-digit three-point attempts in 4 of the last 5. They're going to fall, and he's going to have a big game here soon. 6,300. Halliburton, I think, is the best play, but he's also the most expensive play. Talk to me here about the Pacers.
Yeah, man, I honestly think you summed it up perfectly. And, you know, there's always another guy that's kind of going to go off and contribute. I really wish Benedict Mathurin was playing about 35 minutes. He's playing about 27.
I don't think that's fantastic, man.
Yeah, if he was playing 35 minutes, like he'd be the guy. I'm saying in terms of salary production. Man, just get the man 30-plus minutes, 35-ish. Anyway, you know, they're committed to playing T.J. McConnell. And so T.J. McConnell played 32 minutes last game. So you're like, Indiana, what are we doing? Like, come on, man. And that's what I have to say about Indiana. It's Halliburton. It's I think you can get away with Miles Turner. I don't love it. But it's possible he has a big game. And I still think I play Benedict Mathurin just in large field tournament stuff. Like at 5,700, I still think I take some shots.
You know, okay, I don't love Turner in this game. I don't love the matchup. But, like, the more I think about it, the more, like, Jackson might be interesting here because they might be forced to play bigger in this game.
Yeah.
I don't think he's the craziest. Like, Jalen Smith, it would be the guy, like, you could definitely take some tournament shots on as well. Like, one of those two guys.
Yeah, Jalen would get his 20 minutes at least. And then it's up to the rest of them.
Like, it's who's getting Towns, right? Like, you don't want to play the guy that's getting Gobert. You want to play the guy that's getting Towns.
Yeah.
All right, cruising along. We got Dallas at Boston. 218 total here, Boston. 4-point favorite. Dinwiddie, questionable. Keebler, doubtful. Boston side, Gallo and Robert Williams out. But the big news here that we're going to be paying attention to that could change the entire slate, Jason Tatum is questionable. If he were to sit, it would obviously matter a lot. It's an ankle sprain. Really, typically with ankle sprains, it's how does he wake up? Is he sore? Or is he going to be like, we'll see. So who knows? We're going to talk about it both ways. But let's start here. With Dallas, Luka is 12-8. If there's, you know, one guy that you could, you know, potentially get 80-plus fantasy points on any slate right now, I would put Luka at the top of the list. So what are we doing here with Dallas?
Man, so Luka is the absolute stud play, right? Like, there's no doubt about it. Let's just say this is his season, Stevie. Like, he's pretty much probably at the top of the MVP discussion, I would say, for this season with the way he's playing. And not only the way he's playing, but the way he's playing with his team. He's 12-8, and he might be the only guy I want to play from Dallas outside of Christian Wood if Christian Wood got 30-ish minutes. But I don't, I mean, I guess you could take a flyer on, and I don't want to say flyer. Flyer makes it seem like he's a terrible play, but I need Christian Wood on the floor producing. Jason Kidd, can you please give this guy at least 30 minutes a game? And, like, we're in business here because right now Luke is the only person I actually want to play. If Dinwiddie were to sit, then Tim Hardaway Jr. is going to take a bunch of shots, and then it's, well, do the shots go in? At, you know, at 4,300, I think he's fair. I think that's a fair price. But it's mainly Luka, and let's just hope Jason Kidd gives Wood close to 30 minutes, and Wood would dominate in this game. Boston's been struggling inside.
Does Wood get a bump with Keebler potentially not playing? Like, he's doubtful.
I feel like he should, but man, I mean, it's not like
Keebler's playing a ton of minutes, but he's playing anywhere from 20 to 30 minutes. So
yeah,
that's enough. I feel like. For like Wood to potentially get 25 plus, like we're not being greedy. Just get him 25 plus.
I would say if they told me today Wood was going to get 28 minutes, I'd be in. I'd be in at 28 minutes.
My other question for you though is, yeah, I mean Hardaway, sure. I mean, if Dinwiddie doesn't play, Hardaway, sure. The other question would be, do we take some shots on Finney Smith at 3,800 too?
At 3,800, you probably, I think you have
35 minutes, small forward eligible.
His minutes aren't going anywhere. Like that's so that's the crazy part, right? Like he's going to play regardless, and so it's up to does he hit a few shots? Does he pick up some stops? But at 3,800, like that's the price where you have to roll the dice. I mean, that's basically what we're doing here. We're rolling the dice on the price, and I mean, I think that's the way you approach it. I think that's the fair way to do it for sure. Reggie Bullock is going to be in a similar boat, honestly, at 3,400. And kudos to him for just kind of creating himself a role in the NBA and sticking, Stevie. Like,
yeah.
You know, like, man, kudos to him. Bullock has got a 25 fantasy point game in him at 3,400. I think he goes in the pool.
Really just depends on who's in and out for Dallas.
Yeah.
The secondary players matter a little bit. Luka, obviously, just he's Luka. I mean, we don't need to get into it too much with him. Boston side, this all depends on Tatum. Tatum changes the entire slate, whether he's in or out. If Tatum plays 10-7 fast, I mean, I don't hate him. He's going to fill up the stat sheet. If Tatum sits, Brown, Smart, these guys all white, like all become very, very interesting plays. Talked about Grant Williams the other night. Will, I got my 35 minutes I really wanted from him and just didn't. Didn't get like he didn't bust, but he didn't get there either.
He was
got it right, and he just didn't produce. Talk to me here on the Celtics.
Yeah, I think if Tatum sits, so the value on DK is going to be in Smart, Brogdon, and White, right? Like that's where the value is going to be, and then it's I guess the decision is this. Does Jaylen Brown do enough to warrant paying up? Because he's not, it's not like he's 7,300 where he was for years and years and years, or, you know, lower sevens, mid sevens. He's mid eights now. Absolutely, you know, I get it, but it's does he do enough? Does he give us Jason Tatum level production if Tatum sits tomorrow? And at 8,500, I don't know if he does. He's capable, but Dallas has been fairly stingy on the defensive end, like fairly stingy. I'd go out on a limb and say if Jaylen Brown does anything, he scores a few more baskets, but he doesn't break the slate. And so I'm willing to fade him at 8,500.
Boston and the whole slate kind of – I mean, I don't want to say the whole slate, but it definitely matters whether or not Tatum plays or not. So we'll definitely be watching that one. Washington at Miami, 211.5 total, lowest total on the slate. We hardly ever see totals this low anymore. Miami, 1.5-point favorite. Beal, Hachimura, Morris, questionable, right out for Washington. Some big news there. On the Miami side, Butler's out. Dedmon is questionable. Hero is questionable. Robinson's out. Struss is questionable. And Vincent is questionable. This is a game at 7:30. We're going to be watching a lot for news just because, like, it might not be the best game environment on the slate, but it has a ton of potential value. So let's start with Washington, Will. I mean, we were just talking about it, right? The whole slate kind of depends on, you know, whether or not Bradley Beal plays. Because if he were to sit, 8,600 for Kyle Kuzma is not enough, especially with no right. Like, Kuzma's going to shoot the ball 30 times in this game if Bradley Beal sits. So what are we looking at here for Washington?
Yeah, I think that's that's what I think that's what we're looking at. I would throw Denny Avdija in the mix as well. Like, if Denny gets 30 minutes, you know, he's another guy. Here's the other thing I like about Denny. He will get peripherals, probably more so rebounds. Like, if you look when he's played big minutes, Stevie, he's put up points and he's put up peripherals. And so, you know, 32 minutes against Dallas, 12.6 rebounds, 4 assists, 34 minutes against Utah, 13-7-3. Memphis, 34, 21-2-5. OKC, 30 minutes, 12-7-2. Like, and so the Charlotte game, which is, of course, probably a lesser defensive game, shot 6-11, 12-13-1. I just think he's shown that he's going to get production kind of in an all-around fashion at 5K if a lot of these guys from Washington sit, like, you know, possibly we anticipate. I don't want to say anticipate, but if these questionable tags become doubtful tags, become out, then I think Denny's squarely in the mix. And Rui Hachimura being out is only going to help him solidify those minutes.
Another guy to watch is Kaspert, Corey Kaspert. Like, he's already getting a solid role here, over 29 minutes in 4 of the last 5, over 29 fantasy points in 3 of the last 5 games. He has some upside. So yeah, watch him at 40. Yeah, 4,300. No Butler defense-wise. So, the Miami side is so hard here night before because we need to know if Hero and Struss are going to play. Because, like, if these guys are out, Kyle Lowry is 7,700. It's not like you're getting a huge value on him. But this is a guy that's gone over 50 fantasy points in 2 of the last 3 games. So, like, he has to at least be in the conversation if these guys sit. So, I mean, we're looking at Miami and going, who's playing? What are your thoughts here on the Heat?
So my first thought is Kyle Lowry just keeps – he's got a Toronto jersey on from his, you know, one of his earlier seasons on under that Miami Heat jersey.
He's feeling good right now. He's feeling fresh.
I mean, but honestly, it is good to see that he can still get it done. And, yeah. I mean, man, if Miami could figure out how to make this work when everybody's back, obviously he won't have to carry the load. But, you know, if this team wants to be a playoff team, there are going to be some spots where Kyle Lowry may have to put up these kind of performances to just help push along. So I'm just excited from a real basketball perspective on him. From a fantasy perspective, though, as you've already mentioned, Steve, over 50-2 in 2 of the last 3. That one against Washington where everybody was out, he put up 70. Like, 70. Mike, like, Kyle Lowry at 70 should not exist in 2022, but it does.
You talk about the Toronto jersey. He was repping a Superman jersey in that game.
Absolutely,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, Lowry that's on his off.
Yo, he had a double 20-10-15. Incredible.
He was feeling it, man.
Did they win that game? Like, they were, I think they went overtime. I can't remember if they won, but so at 7,700, if people shy away, like, I'm in. Like, I'm all the way in. Because I don't think there's any reason to fade him if all these guys continue to sit out. You know, Bam is, you know, he's probable. If Bam is in at 8,200, like, man, just fire him up as well. And then now it's just the peripheral pieces. So You know, with Jimmy being out, that does help. But man, I'd almost just prefer Hero, Struss, and Vincent to sit again so we can continue to play Lowry and Bam.
I forgot to mention Porzingis on the other side of this game, and it wasn't like an oversight. It was just he's 8,900. He's really pricey. He's someone you could look at in the prop game if you want to.
He's been really good for props, like really good, insanely good this season.
Especially if like Bradley Beal doesn't play, you could really kind of take advantage of him in that aspect. He's just expensive at 8,900. Not saying he's not playable. Center only on DraftKings makes him a little bit tougher to play at 8,900 on a big slate.
One other thing I want to mention too about props on him, Stevie. So for whatever reason, the books just keep him at anywhere from 19.5 to 20.5 points. And his first half props typically ends up around 9.5 to 10.5. And for whatever reason, they just run the offense through him in the first half. It's amazing. So I think the way the rotation is set up, and I've been tracking this because we've taken a lot of first half props. So if you're playing Porzingis, look at his first half prop. If it's 9.5 or 10.5, just take the over. I think he's been playing the whole quarter pretty much, Stevie. So what happens is he picks up, you know, 5 or 6 on the front end, and then Beal and the gang leaves, and then it all runs through him. And so in the first quarter, he's been hitting 8 to 10 real points. Then he just needs 1 or 2 more, and he's over. So I just wanted to point that out because you mentioned the prop game. I think that's a great call.
Toronto side of this game, or no, not Toronto. What am I thinking?
We're going to that game.
Yeah, we're going to that game. Brooklyn at Toronto, 222 total here. Toronto, 2-point favorite. Precious out. Porter out, Siakam out, and I can't read my own handwriting. I think it says Barnes questionable and Banton questionable. I can't read my own writing. That is called scribbling at its finest, but Brooklyn on the second end of a back-to-back, we will see whether or not they rest anybody or not. I think, like, everyone probably plays. I don't know. Like, I know Kyrie just got, you know, back. But yeah, I don't know. We'll have to see. Brooklyn side of this game, if everyone plays, I honestly don't have a ton of interest. I said this yesterday with Kevin Durant. With Kyrie being back, I thought he was a little overpriced. He's 11-2 again. I'm just not paying 11-2 for KD on a 12-game slate with Kyrie playing. Now, if Ben Simmons and Kyrie were to sit, or one of them, obviously that changes things. What are your thoughts on Brooklyn?
My thoughts are we probably need to be playing Ben Simmons at 6,100. If he plays, I think what we're starting to see from Ben Simmons, not just the score, and that's not what I'm as excited about. I am excited about that to the peripheral, Stevie, like the steals, the blocks, the assists. I was like, that's what we want to see from him. And so as he continues to get himself worked back into shape here from those multiple seasons off, I think we're starting to see the upside from a fantasy perspective, which is why he's always been priced at that 8K level, like 8K plus level when he's been extremely healthy and productive. And we're getting that at a 6K price tag. Now, do they limit him tomorrow? Maybe. But at 6,100, I think you take a shot against a Toronto team that Brooklyn should be able to beat with star power.
Yeah, it was funny. I mentioned him as my Let's Get Weird GPP play yesterday. He was one of my favorite plays on the slate. I was like, oh, he might be lower owned. he was like 45% owned in most contests. there was nothing low owned about Ben Simmons at all. Hey, listen, he still put up almost 50 fantasy points, so I'm not mad about it, but it was just funny.
Well, he did put up 50 on FanDuel.
Yeah, it's 48 on
50.9 to be exact. Right, 50.9. We haven't seen that in 3 seasons. At least 2 years removed.
Dude, going back to Philly, just no way I wasn't playing him. So
Yeah.
I think one of my teams did not have him, but anyway, the Toronto side of this game,
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Really depends on Barnes, but yeah, Boucher at 6,200, no Siakam, no Precious. He should play plenty of minutes here. He probably becomes even more of a, you know, in play if Barnes doesn't play. Like, the usage just goes crazy here for Van Vliet if Barnes sits. So you just, Van Vliet has so many opportunities where he's busted this season, but I think you would have to go back to the well. Will, talk to me. What do you like here for Toronto?
So Toronto is very interesting to me with Siakam out, because Van Vliet is kind of the guy at 7,800. I think I'm in on Van Vliet. I don't hate Gary Trent. Like, at 5,800, you know, hopefully his minutes will be there and ramp back up. But I think Van Vliet is the guy. I'm just committed to not Scotty Barnes. Like, I wanted Scotty to be great when these guys were out. I know he had one 60-point game. But all in all, I think I'm just going to fade Scotty. I think it's Van Vliet or bust for me. They've priced up Chris Boucher, which I hated. I was hoping they were going to keep him at 5K range. They did not. Once again, nothing against the Toronto Raptors, but it's mainly just Van Vliet for me.
Yeah, moving on. Sacramento at Atlanta, 238.5 total in this game. Atlanta, 6.5-point favorite. The Kings, second end of a back-to-back. Atlanta, Bogdanovich is out. We'll start here with Sacramento. I mean, this game is going to be fantastic, right? Like, you look at the game in general, Sacramento is one of the worst defensive teams. It's not like Atlanta is a great defensive team. These teams both play fast, top seven in the NBA in pace on both sides. This is a juicy game. Let's start here with Sacramento first. Like, I know it's a back-to-back. I know Sabonis and Fox are expensive, but, I mean, this game seems like a game. Like, even Herder going back to Atlanta, maybe he shoots a little bit more, but...
But he's been shooting like crazy.
Yeah, anyway. I was going to say, how much more can he really shoot should be the thing here.
Yeah, don't bury the lead. Kevin Herder going back to Atlanta. Here's the thing about Herder too, man, that's really interesting. This team, Sacramento, said, you know what? We've got something here. Started giving him the minutes, Stevie. And so you've seen his minutes stabilize, and as his minutes have stabilized, so has his production. Let me ask you something, and this is an aside. I know we got to get out of here, but wouldn't LeBron James love to have Kevin Herder just – to play with right now, to shoot some three-point shots? My God, I mean, the Lakers would be ecstatic. And Sacramento was able to grab him. He's been playing fantastic, really. I mean, and you talked about the shots, Stevie. You know, at least half of these games, he's taking, you know, 15 to 20 shots. So I think he's an okay play at 6K. Definitely has some upside tonight as well. Every time I look, he was either scoring a basket or grabbing a rebound. So he played really well. De'Aaron Fox at 9,400, I definitely think that's a good price for him, for his production. You know, they're on a back-to-back. They won that game pretty – I don't want to say pretty handy, but they were kind of in control of the game the previous game. I'm sure they'll fly out to Atlanta because they fly out to Atlanta tonight. They'll probably get there, I'd say, 2 a.m. or so. Get them some rest, go through shoot around. I actually think they'll be fine. So this, I like Sacramento. I think a sneaky play is Harry Barnes. at 5,300. Another guy whose minutes have stabilized here recently. So at 5,300, I think you can take a shot on him as well, considering the matchup. And it's going to be an up and down game.
Atlanta's side of this game, you know, all year we're going to debate whether it's Trae Young or DeJounte Murray. I'm going to side Trae Young, I think, every time. If I'm going to chase the ceiling for this team, you know, Clint Capella is someone like it's just all about minutes. He's kind of priced where he should be right now, though. John Collins at 5,600 is someone that could potentially put up 30, but I don't know if that's enough on a 12-game slate at 5,600. So I think if you're looking at Atlanta, you're looking at Trae Young, and you're potentially looking at maybe like a John Collins or going to the bench with like an AJ Griffin type of player.
I don't hate that. I will say for me, it's always going to be Trae Young, except in matchups like this where I can probably play them both. And I'm not saying I'm going to play them both together. I'm saying like playing against Sacramento should open up DeJounte to be a little bit more efficient, I think. So at, you know, he's got about an $800 discount. So I like him a lot in this spot. Like, I think he should be okay. I'm with you though. Like Trae Young across the board in every situation, but I do really like DeJounte here at 9K against the Kings on a back-to-back. You talked about John Collins at 5,600. His price is starting to get to that point now where you just start taking shots. And he's played, you know, over 30 minutes in 1, 2, 3, 4, at least 5 games straight. At least 5 games straight. Like, that's what I want to see out of John Collins. So if they're going to give us Collins at 5,600, he's going to play 33 minutes. It's not free, but it's value, I think. And so I really like him as well.
All right, cruising along here. We got Denver at OKC, 229 total here. Denver, 2-point favorites. Denver on a back-to-back. We did get Jokic and Murray back on Tuesday. On the OKC side, Holmgren, Muscala, and Poku out. We'll start here with Denver. Well, what's funny is, like, I really like my main team for NBA, and like I was like, man, I don't really have anybody to shift Michael Porter Jr. off of. I guess I'll just let it ride. 32 fantasy points at halftime. Sup?
That's all you want. Listen,
this is like because I said it, he'll probably put up like 2 more fantasy points the entire game or something. But it's always funny when like you're on the right side of that because you're on the wrong side. I feel like way more than you're on the right side, but I think it's hilarious. So.
Oh yeah.
Talk to me here about the Nuggets.
So I'm not saying they will, but this is a game where Jokic and Murray might sit just coming back off protocols. I'm not saying they will, but I'm saying they're literally just getting back. I want to see where their minutes have been because maybe, just maybe, they sit. But all in all, if they don't, I kind of don't want to play anybody from Denver today. Jamal Murray at 7K is, I feel like, priced up to where he should be now. Bruce Brown is priced up because of the fill-in. Bones Highland is priced up because of the fill-in. Michael Porter Jr. at 6,100, I think, is where he should be, considering the general production that he's put up over the season with the full lineup. Gordon at 5,600, I think, is, you know, maybe he's got some value, but I think that's fair, considering that lineup is coming together. And then Jokic at 11. Believe it or not, Stevie, Jokic has not validated this salary for most of the season. Like, he's averaging 50 fantasy points. At this particular salary, he should be averaging about 57, 58. So I don't mind taking basically a full fade on the Denver offense, on the Denver players, until everything kind of stabilizes again from Jokic and Murray being out.
My screen didn't refresh. Starting the fourth quarter, Michael Porter Jr. is at 32 fantasy points. Still not mad about it.
No.
Jokic and Murray to start the fourth quarter are at 27 and 26 minutes. So
they're probably going into the 30s, which
– that means like there's no minutes restriction on these guys. Yeah. I will note that Bones Highland, he had an illness. He was questionable. He ended up playing – but he only played, I think it was 8 or 9 minutes, and then has not returned since. So something to kind of watch. Yeah. So, I mean, potentially helps maybe like a Bruce Brown type of guy, like more usage with the second unit, but he's 6,300 because of these guys being out. So I'm with you. I think if everybody plays, you're just probably staying away from Denver. On the Thunder side of things, they're starting to get healthier as well. And the prices are not really reflecting it yet either. Like Josh Giddey is 7K. Seems like a lot. He is someone that can go for 40 plus fantasy points. SGA at 10-2, had a terrible game the other night, put up 49 fantasy points. So I say terrible. He didn't have a terrible game. He just had a really slow game where he just couldn't get anything going in the first half and still ended up with 49 fantasy points. So talk to me here about the Thunder.
Yeah, I mean, they've been an interesting team this season. You know, SGA has been, I mean, gosh, man, like he's playing at a high all-star level, Stevie. I mean, high all-star level. Like, I think he's averaging around 30. It's been a joy to watch at 10-2. I don't mind him against Denver. Denver hasn't been playing as great of defense, I think, as we anticipated they would. Now, maybe that all comes back together as they get more healthy, but it's just not there. And then, you know, you already talked about Poku being out and, or questionable with some of these other guys. I think, you know, for me, Lu Dort, I think, is okay, but it's mainly SGA, man. Like, he's been incredible. And so I don't mind playing him against anyone at this point.
Chicago at Milwaukee, 218.5 total here. The Bucks, a 7-point favorite. Ball out for Chicago. Ingles and Middleton out for Milwaukee. Start here with the Chicago side of this game. Struggling in this whole game, Will. I don't want to use it as a catch-up game, but it definitely seems like a catch-up game. Like DeRozan, Vooch, and LaVine all being healthy in a tough matchup here against Milwaukee. I struggle to see really playing any of these guys. Do you have any interest in the Bulls?
Negative.
Yeah.
No interest.
I don't. Yeah, I just don't. I just maybe a tournament shot on like LaVine. Hope he gets like hot or something. But I mean, I don't think I'm getting there. On the Milwaukee side of things, like Giannis is 12-3. He's always in the conversation of like being able to break slates, but I don't know. I just don't expect this game to be really high scoring. And, you know, he doesn't even need like fast paced games to like have monster games. It's just, I don't know. I think this game's going to be kind of slow, you know, enough defense where you have, you know, two of the top 10 defensive teams and rating in this on the season. It's just, I'm struggling to really like, say, oh, I gotta have guys in this game.
Well, what I will say, Stevie, is I do feel like the upside from Giannis that we've seen, you know, over the past few seasons and even early this season is going to come back. What was surprising to me, like if you look at the last game against Portland, if you would have told me Giannis scored 37 real points, what I would have equated that to in my mind from a fantasy perspective is probably around 70 fantasy points. In a typical sense, like when he hits in the 30s, he's usually upper 30s. He's usually about to hit that 70 fantasy point mark. And it was only 58, Stevie. 7 points, 6 assists. I mean, 7 rebounds, 6 assists, no blocks, 2 steals. 58 fantasy points. Like, you know, that's not getting it done for us at 12-4. That's not – so at 12-4, do you think Giannis goes off for 37 real points? I don't think so. Not in this spot, so I'm willing to take the fade. I'm probably pretty much on a fade of this whole game. You know, you mentioned LaVine, like at 7,100, obviously, you know, you can take a shot on him. But, like, Drew at 8,100, I just, you know, I still working back in the fold here. This game is just probably the most appealing, unappealing on the slate.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We're going to move on. We got New Orleans at San Antonio, 232.5 total here. Pelicans 7-point favorite, Liddle. And Murphy, doubtful. Poeltl, questionable for San Antonio. And Richardson, doubtful. We'll start here with the Pelicans. I mean, only 23 minutes the other night from Zion, but I mean, they were winning that game so in control of that game. That it's so hard to say, he was on a minutes limit.
He didn't need to play.
They didn't need to play him.
The ending result was 128-83. Like, there was no reason to push this game for a guy that's had injury history.
Yeah, like, in blowouts, Zion's going to be the first guy off the floor most of the time.
And he should be. He should be. Yeah.
Good coaching.
There you go.
Him and CJ McCollum, get those guys off the floor.
Yeah. Like,
Let BI go do his thing.
We're up by 30. Hey guys, your night's done. Come on. Come on out.
Anything that you like here for the Pelicans?
Not really, man. I think everybody's priced appropriately. And Steve, I really feel like this game should be similar to the Golden State game. Not as much of a blowout, because we understand that Golden State set pretty much all their starters, but I think it will be something similar. Like, I feel like they cruise to a 20 to 25-ish point victory. And so for me, you know, once again, as the coach should, I think Zion may sit late. Now, do I think he plays 23 minutes? Maybe. Maybe he plays 26, 28. And that might be enough, but I don't think it will be. So I'm willing to take the fade here on this whole game as well. Even with the Spurs guys, I know I jumped ahead, but the Spurs guys are priced up. And I just don't see them, you know, putting a dent in any type of GPP format.
Yeah, the one thing that I will mention on the New Orleans side is San Antonio is the worst defensive team in the league. The Pelicans are one of the best defensive teams in the league. I think they're fifth or sixth in defensive rating. I don't know if this game stays close. I really don't. I hate predicting blowouts, but I need guys to get their minutes if I want them to hit their ceiling. So I don't think I end up on anything here with the Pelicans with these prices. And then on San Antonio, like you mentioned, these guys are all kind of priced up as well. If Poeltl sits, Charles Bassey is just – they priced him up. And Sochan. Like, Sochan's 4,400. He's not priced up as much. So if Poeltl sits, it changes my thoughts on the Spurs a little bit. But I mean, Vassell's right where he should be price wise. Johnson's right where he should be at price wise. I don't see a ton of ceiling in these guys. If I were going to take a shot on anybody, it'd probably be Vassell over Jones and Johnson.
Yeah, for sure. But I don't even want to play Vassell even at 7,200 in this spot.
And like, if Poeltl sits, Gorgie Dang's 3,500. If this game turns into a blowout, you could large field tournament up with the Gorgeous Dong. Just wanted to mention the Gorgeous Dong. Here we go. Detroit at Utah, 228.5 total. Utah 11-point favorite. Detroit's on the second end of a back-to-back. Don't expect Cunningham to play in this game. Don't expect Stewart to play in this game. And Bay flew back to Detroit, so he's definitely not playing in this game. So we should see, you know, kind of the same type of lineup for Detroit here tonight. On Utah side of things, no Conley, no Rudy Gay. A couple question marks that really don't matter. Let's talk Detroit. What are we doing here with the Pistons?
Yeah, man, I think it's going to be kind of a similar situation. You probably want to get in some Ivy. You probably also want to get in some Bogdanovich, but he's 6,500 now. So maybe you don't want to get in some Bogdanovich, even though he probably could go for 40. He's most likely going to go for 30, 21 points, three assists and four rebounds. That's probably his total. I don't hate Alec Burks with all of these guards out, but he's not a must play for me. So that's kind of where I am, but don't hate Ivy. You know, he's a guy that usage has been through the roof as these guys have continued to sit. Bagley's been playing more minutes as well at 4,800, but nothing that gets me incredibly excited. If he was playing 30 minutes, excuse me, I'd be in on Marvin Bagley for sure.
He's going to be coming off of a good game too, so it could potentially bump up his ownership a little bit. I think he's like 14 points from the field as they're beating Denver. They really just kind of spread the minutes out. Outside of like Bogdanovich, like who you mentioned, Hayes, you know, he was getting solid minutes. He's had a really good assist game, but like Knox, Burks, Duran, they're using Diallo. They use some Corey Joseph. Like, these guys on the bench are getting too many minutes for these guys to get like 35 minutes. Second end of a back-to-back, if people start getting ruled out, maybe. But, man, unless you're wanting to just take some shots on like large field tournaments on like a Kevin Knox on a 12-game slate, hoping the game doesn't stay close and he gets up to like 22 minutes type of game, like that kind of thing, yeah. I just don't see really going crazy with Detroit. And like, I mean, if you're playing Utah, like if you're hoping this game stays close, it'd probably be Bogdanovich for me.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm with you for sure. And let me give this minor nugget about the Detroit Pistons. It's so funny to me, but as a coach, what I realize is Detroit is doing just enough to win a few games, but they don't intend to make the playoffs because the rotation is too deep. If they were planning on actually winning, they'd have a much shorter rotation. Like, and I know Cade is out and all these things, but listen, they're hopping into sweepstakes too.
Jump on in. Utah side, I mean, if you think this game's going to stay close, Lauri Markkanen should have a game. I still like him. Yeah, I still like him in the props side. Like, whether you want to do points and rebounds plus or if you want to do fantasy points, I like him on the prop side of things. Like if you don't want to pay 8,100 for him, but small forward 8,100 is not the craziest idea because he can get 50. What are your thoughts here on Utah?
Yeah, I think, and Lori's taking enough shots too. Like that's the other thing. Like he is, like if you look at him comparable to let's say other stars, he might not have 20 shots every night, but Stevie, he's had his share of 20 shot nights, and most nights when he's taking 20 shots, he's hitting the 50s.
Yeah.
So I don't hate Lauri in this spot against a young team on a back-to-back for sure. And then the other thing too, Clarkson's, you know, playing a lot more minutes with Conley out. So he's another guy I would consider here in this spot with these other guys on a back-to-back. Conley being out is pretty much bumping him 35 to 40 minutes if it's close.
All right, last game, hour break. We have a ton of 7 to 8 o'clock games, 7, 7:30 and 8. And then we got like a 9 o'clock game, and then we have a 10 o'clock game. 10 o'clock game is really interesting. We got the Clippers at Golden State, 222 total here. Golden State is 7.5 point favorite. George Kennard and Kawhi already ruled out for the Clippers. Iggy remains out for Golden State. No big deal. My question to you, Will, is are they willing to play John Wall 30 minutes? Because if he's going to play anything over 25 minutes and this game stays close, I'm in. I'm in. Not even going to think twice. I'm in.
Yeah, I'm with you. You know, Reggie Jackson had a really good game the other night. I think he scored 27 points, but just sniping from three-point range in that game. I think you play John Wall regardless. Like, he's been getting 25 minutes and putting up big numbers. Like, I think you play him regardless, no matter what. We already know Kawhi is out. We already know that Paul George is out. We already know Kennard is out. I think Powell and John Wall are, like, probably as close to the really good plays in this team as you can get. I do know that, you know, Morris Markieff is going to play some minutes, but I don't think I want to play him. I think it's Wall. I think it's John Wall and Norman Powell. I don't hate Zubac. But Zubac priced up some. Now, he can put up 40 if he does great. But listen, man, Wall and Powell, I think, are the guys here.
Yeah, I don't mind Zubac. I'm always worried when you're taking big guys against this team, it goes small. But outside of that, I mean, Powell is probably the top value on the slate. Him and Jackson are too cheap for this matchup. Like, you could potentially play two of these three guys, Wall, Jackson, and Powell. I don't know if I play all three. I don't hate the idea of maybe playing all three if this game stays close. But if you're going to play two or three of these guys, I think you got to look at Curry or even Klay Thompson. Thompson, 6,100. This dude's chucking right now. He's like, I'm Klay Thompson, and I'm going to put up double-digit three-pointer attempts every night. Don't care. I'm chucking. I'm getting buckets.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Klay was on fire the other night, and I think – yeah, I think we'll see some more of that. I don't think we see it this game. Like, I don't think Klay's going off for 41, but I do think he goes off for at least 20. And so at 61, I don't hate it. I think he's an okay play. This is a game where I do feel like the Warriors should win. They're at home. They played much better at home this year than on the road anyway. Wiggins has been really good this season. I don't hate Wiggins. But, you know, as Klay's scoring numbers pick up, I'm less interested in Wiggins game to game. And then Curry's just been out of his mind. But I don't think I want to pay 10-8 for Curry at home. And believe it or not, Stevie, I'm more inclined to pay 10-8 for Curry on the road because he's got to score more points to help them win. At home, they've been fine. So I'm going to keep that philosophy for now and probably mostly fade outside of Wiggins and Klay Thompson.
I don't mind the Wiggins call. I think this is a spot where with George and Kawhi out, I just see Klay kind of getting a lot of open looks. At the end of the day, that's what I'm looking for. So definitely don't mind him. Let's play the morning grind game, and then we'll get out of here. Big slate, 12 games. We got football on the podcast for tomorrow. What week are we in football? I really don't know. Is it week 12? Week 13?
Week 12. Week 12.
Okay. Like, I'm not even joking. I'm legitly, I was curious. Week 12. So that's what happens when you have a couple weeks off and you don't pay attention at all. So, all right. That was enough to delay. Favorite play under 5K to go 7X. Who do you like today?
Under 5K, Stevie. Gosh, man. This is a tough one for me because my favorite play is probably right at 5K. Give me... I'm going to give you a twofer. If Dinwiddie is out, give me Hardaway Jr. If he's in, give me Malik Monk against Atlanta.
All right, I was like, don't take one of my guys. I'm gonna go Corey Kispert. I like this spot for him at 4,300. I think if Wall or not if Wall, if Beal doesn't play, even juicier. So give me Kispert. Over 8K to go under 5X. Who's your bust today?
I think it's going to all be up top today. I know you've got a guy that you like. Give me Giannis. I just don't see him going past 60 fantasy points, you know, especially after he scored 37. It's 37 real points still there. I don't see it against Chicago.
I mean, this is a no-brainer for me. I'm going right back to the well on Kevin Durant. He might burn me if some guys get ruled out, but I'm going to say right now, with everyone looking like they're going to play, I'm going to go KD. A favorite 6X play, Will, who do you got today?
I think I'm going to the Charlotte Philly game, and I'm going to go with Tobias Harris against Charlotte today, as long as he plays. If not, give me Shake Milton. I keep giving you twofers, but... just trying to make sure people understand what I'm thinking.
I think we're going to have a really big night from Anthony Edwards. 6X is tough at 8K, but I'm feeling it. I'm feeling 50-plus fantasy points tonight from Anthony Edwards. He's someone I'm definitely going to be looking at prop-wise as well. So give me Anthony Edwards. Let's get weird GPP play of the day. Who do you got for your let's get weird GPP play of the day?
Well, I kind of talked about this guy. I'm not sure if where the ownership is going to end up on him just because of how the slate's broken out. Give me Donovan Mitchell at 9,200, man. I really like this spot for him against Portland. I think he kind of gets lost in the shuffle. He could put up a big number here.
Donovan Mitchell it is. I always like – this is one of my favorite questions every day, but my let's get weird GPP play of the day. I'm trying – I was like looking in this like 7K price range and was like, oh, who could potentially be different? I don't know what his ownership will be on a big slate, but give me Grant from Portland. Jeremiah Grant, I think he has potential. It's a tough matchup against Cleveland. I just think he's going to be low owned in this range with some really good plays. So give me Grant. Any bets standing out to you here night before?
I think the layup bet is Minnesota Indiana over the total, as long as it's not a blowout. I'm not going to take that one from you. I do think a layup under bet is probably Dallas Boston for what it's worth.
All right. I mean, at first glance, the total in the Brooklyn-Toronto game seems kind of low at 222. I like the over in that game at first glance. Portland-Cleveland maybe under at 217.5. If you think that New Orleans-San Antonio game stays close, that is a game you could pound the over on as well. Sleeper fantasy picks of the day. I mean, they don't have a ton of stuff out yet. So it's always tough when they don't have a ton of stuff out. I will say, I'll do this. I like Simons over 24.5, and I like Anthony Edwards over 23.5 points. So there's your morning grind, 2 for 2, all in, trying to get that 3X. Clicking it now. If you're in the Roto Grinders squad chat, you just saw it in the chat. So there you go. But that's going to wrap it up here for Wednesday. We'll be back tomorrow, Thursday, talking NFL week 12, as Will just informed me. We're in week 12. Hope everyone has a fantastic Wednesday, and we'll see you guys again on Thursday.